Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. And once again tonight, we are continuing our study on desiring God. It's my prayer that that is the reason that you came tonight, is to worship, to honor, and to desire the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. God is God. Would you stand with me as we read from the Word of God? And as we read, I want to remind you this is the Word of God. We read it as though God were speaking Himself, because He really and truly is. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, Lord God of heaven, we need You. You know every heart, every life, every soul present in this service tonight. And You know their needs. Lord, You know my needs better than I know myself. And so tonight, Lord, I pray Your will be done. Tonight, Lord, we join together to diligently seek You, to honor You with worship, and to experience You in fellowship and communion together. Lord, we love You. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Desiring God. This morning we talked about desiring God and not settling for anything less. And so tonight, that's still the same challenge. You know, I know this is the Sunday night crowd, and I appreciate you so very much. I love you, because I asked you to come back tonight, and because I wanted to give you something. And we start tonight in Hebrews 11, verse 6, where it says, without faith, it is impossible to please Him. And here's where I want you to take note. For he who comes to God must. Now tonight, since you did come back, I want to start under the assumption that you want to come to God. Amen? So I want you to understand, first of all, what this phrase means, he who comes to God. That word comes, it doesn't mean to just go somewhere. It means to associate with, or have an association with. So when it says he who comes to God, we could say he who wants to associate with God. But take note of the next word, must. That word must is a very complex word. Not really. It simply means a necessity. If you want to associate with God, what the writer of Hebrews is about to tell you is a requirement or a necessity. Okay? So that's how seriously we take this. He who comes to God must believe that He is. Now, first and foremost, you must believe that God is God. Do you believe that? But it's more, I want you to understand, it's more than a simple acknowledgement that God is God. It's easy to say, I believe in God, and never do anything else with that. And I think that's probably the problem in most churches and lives of individual believers. We believe there is a God. We acknowledge there is a God. However, I want you to also understand the demons of hell also believe there's a God, and they tremble. You see, we have to be deeper than that. We have to... When we say we believe God, it's not an acknowledgement. It is a trust in God. We believe that God is who He says He is, and we trust God to be God. Does that make sense? You see, I think that's what the writer of Hebrews is talking about there in the subject of faith. And it is simply a matter of, I trust God to be God. You know, I've often heard people say, there's a song, whatever it takes to be closer to You, Lord. That's what I'll be willing to do. You remember that song? And I've heard people say, oh, I never sing that song. How sad. How sad. You see, there's not a trust there with God. There are people who won't pray, Lord, Your will be done, because they don't trust God. See, you have to understand that God is a God of love, that He actually really does care about you and what you're going through. And He would never sit in heaven and intentionally destroy your life just to make you miserable. That's not who God is. When you say, I believe in God, it means you trust Him. You have confidence in Him and the decisions that He makes on your behalf. And when you say you believe in God, or when you say you believe in anything, it always produces action. I'm going to say that again. Belief always produces action. You see, I believe in my vehicle. So I what? I get in that vehicle and I drive it to my destination. Makes sense, right? When we came in tonight, I believed in that pew right there. And so I walked in and I sat down on that pew right there because I believed it would hold me up. Now, there are some things I believe in and there are some things I do not believe in. For example, if you are a new pilot, and you know my background, used to be an air traffic controller. If you are a pilot and you say, Brother Doug, I've just purchased a Cessna. I have my pilot's license. Come and go flying with me. Guess what I'm going to say? Not a chance. Does it hurt your feelings? I don't care. I'm not getting in an airplane with you. Why? Because if you don't have thousands of hours in an airplane, I don't want to fly with you because I don't trust you. It does not mean I don't love you. It does not mean I don't want to be your friend. But I will not believe in you enough to get into an airplane and trust you with my life. But I tell you what I do believe in. I believe in God. And I believe that God is alive and well. And I believe that God's Son is Jesus Christ, who came to this earth and lived a perfect, sinless life. And I believe He was rejected by His own people and that He was crucified for the sins of all, because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I believe that. And I believe they crucified Him. I believe He died on that cross. But glory to God, I believe that the grave could not hold Him. I believe that He came out of that grave on the third day. And I believe with all my heart that He is seated at the right hand of God today. I believe it. And because I believe it, I have believed in Him. I've called upon Jesus Christ, making Him the Lord of my life. I've taken action because I believe. I'm convinced. Let me tell you. Because I believe in God, I try to live according to the Word of God. And when God says, don't do something, I take that to heart. Because I truly believe that if God says don't do something, He's saying, don't hurt yourself. I'm not trying to keep you from having a good life. I'm trying to keep you from destroying yourself. I believe in God. I believe in God's Word. You see my point here, right? So when we start out and we have this requirement, he who comes to God must believe that He is, it is not just a simple acknowledgement. It is an assumption, if you will, that we believe God is who He says He is and that we trust Him with everything that we are or that we ever will be. Because until you trust in God, you will not desire God. Does that make sense? Until you really believe in God, you will not desire God. The second requirement. Okay? You have to believe that He is. And you have to believe that He is a rewarder. And this is so very important. Okay? Hope you still got your Bibles open. Believe that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. That word rewarder means one who pays wages. You know, I don't just believe in God for nothing. I believe that it pays to serve Jesus. Okay? And here's the question we have to ask ourselves tonight and every day that we live. Is it worth it? Is it worth it to place my life in the hands of Jesus? Is it worth it to trust in Jesus Christ to be the Lord of my life? Is it worth it? And once again, I believe with all my heart, it is absolutely 100% without question worth it. We sing that song, "It Will Be Worth It All," when we see Jesus. I believe with all my heart that one day we will stand before the judgment seat of God and those who have been faithful will be rewarded for their faithfulness. I believe with all my heart that it does pay to serve Jesus. But see, the problem is there are a lot of people who don't. I'm going to say that again. There are a lot of people who do not believe that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. That's why, okay, this is the time to be honest. Don't look at the people around you. Don't look at the people aside of you. Look at you. And be honest with God. Do you have a prayer life? Well, you know, brother, you know, I could always do better. You know why you don't do better? Because you don't really believe that it's worth it. Well, no, Brother Doug, I know. No, listen. When I really believe something, I act upon it. Right? When I really believe, if I really believe there was a $1 million check waiting for me somewhere, guess what? I'd go get it. Without question. Yeah? And if I really believe that God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. If I really believe it, then I'm going to diligently seek Him. Do you have a prayer life? Do you spend time in the Word daily? You know, I'm not trying to beat anybody over the head. I'm trying to show you where we're lacking. Listen, if you don't spend time daily in the Word of God, and this is the Word of God, understand, this came from God. It was written and penned by men of God, and it's God's message to you. People say, I've never heard God speak. Open the Word! But the reason you don't spend time in the Word is because you don't see the benefit. Makes sense, right? You see, what you believe will always be revealed by your actions. What I believe will always be revealed by my actions. God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. It will be worth it. It will be worth it. But I want to call your attention to one more thing. Those who diligently seek Him. You got to try. It requires effort. And that's the idea with that phrase, diligently seek Him. It requires effort. It's almost to the point of a demand that I'm not going to let this day get away without seeking God with all my heart. And I want to tell you something, it's not easy. It's not. And like I said this morning, I think one of the problems with modern day religion is we've labeled everything as easy, and we try to make everything easy for everybody. God never intended it to be easy. As a matter of fact, the things that have come easy for me in my life, I don't appreciate very much, quite honestly. But those things that I've had to dedicate myself to and work at, they mean something. What I want you to understand at this point of the message is that God never intended for your walk to be easy. I know we're living in an age of prosperity preaching, and God accepts everybody and everything, and He wants everybody to be rich, and that's wrong. That's not the truth. The truth. Got your Bibles? Matthew 16:24. Matthew 16:24. Here's the truth. You know, I've heard people, I don't understand why I'm having so much trouble. Matthew 16:24. Jesus is speaking to His disciples. You know what He said? He said to His disciples, "If anyone desires to come after Me, let him deny himself." I better read that again, because that goes against everything that's taught today. Let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow Me. Really? Yes, really. That word, deny, you know what it really means? It means to disown. That's the biggest problem with Christians today. They hang on to self. What's in it for me? You know, I didn't like that music, or I didn't like that preaching, or I don't like start time, or I don't like... It's not about you. And you'll never desire God, you'll never draw near to God until you deny yourself. Disown you. Say, God, whatever you want. Are you bold enough to make that prayer? Whatever you want. Wherever you want me to go, whatever you want me to do, whatever I need to go through, Lord, that's what I want to go through. So that I can be closer to You, because I desire a growing relationship with You, Lord. You know why? I tell you, sometimes I do become a little worried, and I shouldn't, because God has it all under control. But I look around, you know what's not happening anymore? Men are not surrendering to preach anymore. Have you noticed that? There's not that many of us left. You know why? Because it's hard. It's hard. See, you have to disown yourself and say, Lord, send me where You will. Do with me as You please. But here's the thing. Turn over to 2 Samuel chapter 24. 2 Samuel chapter 24 and verse 24. David as the king of Israel. David had numbered the people of Israel against God's will and command. God had sent a terrible plague upon the nation of Israel, and people were dying. And David was told that if you go and you'll offer a sacrifice at this place, the threshing floor of Araunah, that the plague will be stayed. And so he goes to this man named Araunah. and says, I want to buy your threshing floor so I can make a sacrifice. And Arunah's like anybody else. Says, oh, David, just take it. Just take it. You can have it. Don't pay me anything. I don't want anything. Just take it and make the sacrifice. And you know what David said? Verse 24. Then the king said to Arunah, no. David said to Arunah, no. But I will surely buy it from you for a price. Nor will I offer burnt offerings to the Lord my God with that which cost me what? Nothing. You see, that's what your average Christian wants to offer God today. That which cost me nothing. Yes, God, I will acknowledge you, but please don't inconvenience me. Yes, God, I will show up at your house once in a while. But Lord, you know, on Sunday nights during the NFL football season, I'd rather watch football. Ooh, that hits close to home, don't it? Especially if they're watching on the internet. You want to know why we don't have that old-fashioned revival fire that we once had? It's because we want to give to God that which cost us nothing. Here's what I want to give you, and I told you tonight I'm going to give you something that you really need. Tonight I want to encourage all of us. Before I started this series of messages, I had to pray, and I did pray, Lord, change me. And the Lord has changed me, and He has changed my heart. But He's not through changing me. He's still working on me. And so, if you'll make this journey with me, this journey of desiring God, I'm going to ask you to do something this week. I'm going to give you something that nobody ever taught me. As a matter of fact, you seldom ever hear this taught or preached. But in the book of Psalms, chapter 46 and verse 10, I want us to go there. I think this is a secret that we've got to embrace as children of God. If you want to desire God, if you want to know God, you listen. If I tell you something that's going to help you, will you listen to me? Will you? If it's scriptural, will you listen? Some of you will. I guess that's a start, right? Psalms 46:10. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. I want that phrase, be still and know that I'm God, to attach itself to your mind this week. You see that word, be still, the phrase be still, it means to relax and refrain. I truly believe that one of the greatest enemies that exists today in our modern culture is the enemy of busy. The enemy of busy. You see, we live in a culture to where, quite honestly, people who are raising a family get up in the morning, get out of bed early, get their kids ready. They roll out of the house and they don't come back into the house until it's bedtime, and they're so exhausted because they've done work, cheer practice, ball games, everything else. They don't have anything left except to try to find something to eat before they get in the bed. That's not a life. I'm not telling you don't let your kids play sports. I think it's wonderful for kids to play sports. But here's what I am going to tell you. You got to make time for God every day. every day. I'm blessed. Monday mornings I arrive at the office, and guess what I do? I go in and close my door and I talk to God several times throughout the day. Tuesday morning I get up and come back into the office, and I get to close my door and talk to God. Because you see, y'all allow me to do that. You're taking care of your church staff. It allows us to do that. And I appreciate that so very much. I want to tell you, there are times when I go into my office, and I do a lot of study, and I do. But there are times I just close my Bible, and I close my eyes, and I say, "Speak, Lord, your servant heareth. Speak, Lord, your servant is listening." You ever do that? You want to know why there's not a closeness among God's people? Our closeness to God is because we're so busy. We don't have time to close our eyes and say, "Speak, Lord. Your servant is listening." And it'll amaze you what God says. The things that He'll bring to mind. Now, I'm not telling you to close your eyes and make up something. I'm saying sit there and just let God be God. Looking back at times in ministry, y'all know one of the joys of my life is to discover something I didn't know that was there in the Word of God. But another joy is to simply close my eyes and say, "God, speak." And God does speak. Not in an audible voice. I'm not, you know, no, but He speaks. And I want you to have that. But you will not have that if you do not take the time. I've had mothers tell me, "Brother Doug, I don't have time." Listen. Number one, you can't afford not to if you've got kids. Okay? Because you're responsible for those kids. And you better be God-led to raise God kids. Right? So you can't afford not to. Number two, if you are a mother and you're having trouble getting time to say, "Speak, Lord," just to close out the world, close your eyes and say, "Speak, Lord, your servant hears." Get daddy off the couch and say, "Watch these kids." And you go to the bedroom, close the door. Moms, you can say amen there. Okay? What I'm saying, you've got to make time. Dads, we're as guilty. And you know, the thing about dads is, you know, moms are usually more faithful at it than men are. The men just think, "Well, I've got everything under control." No, you don't. No, you don't. You need the same thing. Close the door. Get in the prayer closet. Just you and God. And say, "Speak, Lord. Your servant hears." If you're not doing that, you are missing a wonderful, wonderful blessing. And you need to start so that we as a church can move forward in this study. Okay? "Oh, Brother Doug." No, I'm serious. I'm serious. Be still. And no. If you're never still, God doesn't have the opportunity to speak to your heart. And this applies to young people. Okay? I know kids are wide open and that's the way they like it. But listen, you've got to take time. Speak, Lord. Your servant hears. That was the thing I wanted to give you. I want to ask one more thing of you. Preacher, you're just full of requests tonight. I am. I want to ask you through the week that as you do this, as we all do this, and will you do this, please, with me? Will you do this? Will you stop, close out the world, and give God an opportunity to speak to you? Will you do that? Amen. I would love to hear the blessing that comes from it. Okay? I'm not telling you, you've got to tell me. I'm not. But you know, there's something about hearing from people that God's moving in their life. Shoot me an email and share it with me. Okay? Doug.Hambrick@yahoo.com. I'd just like to hear what God's doing. Right? I don't care if you're young or old. I'd love to receive an email from you about how God's moving in your life. My friends, today we begin the journey. The first step of this journey is being still, taking time with God. Now you can get off the boat tonight, or you can get on the boat and let's move forward together. If you're a child of God, this week be still and know. If you're not a child of God, oh my friends, let me share with you the love of God. God loved you so much He gave His only Son. His name was Jesus. So that whosoever believes in Him shall not perish but have everlasting life. Right? And He did that for you so that you could have eternity in heaven with Him. Are you saved? If not, we're going to have a verse of invitation in just a few moments. I'm going to invite you to come. You may be here tonight and you have God's laid a burden on your heart. Something you need to pray about. I'm here, glad to pray with you. Staff's here, glad to pray with you. Whatever your need is, we'd love to kneel at the altar with you. But we've come to the part of the service where let's be still and know that He's God. Let's listen and let's respond. Heavenly Father, it is good to be Your child. Father, we pray that You'll fix our desire. That we may desire You, Lord. That we may diligently seek You. Help us, Lord. Light that fire within us so that we have a passion for You. Father, now in this invitation, I pray Your will be done. In Jesus' name.